Yes, that is my real name. I was born with that, so. It does get transposed a lot, though, so. Let's see here. You guys are seeing the slides? The basic topic of my talk is the burner phone DDoS. It was a $2 a day experiment with one of the Verizon plans that I found. So, yeah, it makes about 70 calls a minute depending on the actual towers that it's on. So, and with the way that I have it migrating through them, and I'll go through that in pretty quick here, so. Okay, who am I and what is this talk about? I usually don't like this part, and I'm sure most of the crowds don't, so I'll breeze through it. And it's a little bit about me. I've done pen testing professionally for about 10 years. Went for computer science and geophysics. Got tons of certs. Nobody cares about them. wrote some custom exploits for property management software, a couple ISP devices, things like that. Internet service provider specific devices. So, to a reservation fuzzing. About 9 years of pen testing, as I said. Tons of compliance. Tools of the trade. I'm going to go over some actual devices that are really nice compared to a rubber ducky. So, creation of call bombing, that's basically the one I'm gonna go over with here. And I'm gonna do the demonstration here in a bit here, so. And here's the, does anybody use rubber duckies on any sort of pen testing, audits, things like that? Has anybody ever played around with the TINSEE 3.0s, the human interface device? Okay, yeah, if you combine the two into an iPhone, and I do have plans if you guys want to email me. All it takes is a heat gun, a TINSEE 3.0, and a fake iPhone you can buy on eBay for like $7, so. They work a lot better than just the classic USB, so. This is an RFID badge reader that I made. It has a gyro sensor in it, so when they move on the chair, right now it beeps. Every time they scan their card. So it's not very cognito, but it definitely gets the job done. Okay, we're at a security convention, so I'm just gonna go over these very quickly also. Denial of service is basically when legitimate services of any kind are denied due to people sending false or overflow of information. Telephone denial of service is I haven't seen much of it out in the wild as much as I thought I would, especially with some of the incidences we've been having the last few years and a lot of the hacktivism type stuff. And yeah, basically calls up, there's either PRI, a lot of people don't have POTS, plain old telephone service for the most part anymore. Most of it's getting switched to SIP trunk and PRI services. So it's something that, yes, is definitely in the wake now that it's more on the internet, so. Instances of TDoS that I have seen in the wild is bank fraud, card-not-present theft. For example, if my card was being used in Texas at some gas station of some choice, Wells Fargo would actually try to call me. And the current reasons that I've seen for that is where they actually TDoS people's phones on some of the more premium cards. And let's see, bank transfer mule scams. That's something that's been going out in Los Angeles and California area a lot, where they'll actually tie up the phone lines on the call center for the actual banks. And then unintentional spoofed caller ID scamming. That is one of the biggest ones. That's the actual reason I'm here at this speech, is because a couple years back, I came across getting like 3 calls in the morning. It was right when I moved to Minneapolis. And I kept getting, it was a new phone number, so I assumed it was somebody, the previous owner of the number had put themselves into some sort of system where I was getting calls at 7 in the morning, but when I called back, it had a spoofed caller ID. So there was this old man in, I think it was Delaware, that was getting probably, I think he said close to 140 calls a day. I did call him later in the evening, he said he was changing his number, and that's actually what got me thinking more about the telephone denial of service. So then there's call center attacks. For IRS, I know there's lots of actual government facilities, things like that, that are actually getting tons of call center, that are getting tons of actual illegitimate calls, and it's actually tying up their lines of service. So, political motivated activism, I have seen a little bit of it out in the wild, hear about it in the news all the time, so. Here's the current methods of TDoS. Once again, the caller ID reflection spoofed attack. That's one that I'm going to go over in some brief detail. There is the actual malware on phones. I'm sure you guys, if you've been to any security conferences in the last few months, actually the last few years, a lot of it has been based around actual malware developed on the iOS platform and Android. So the most Most of the methods right now that are being used are actual hijacked PRI and SIP services, and that's actual internet service provider provided SIP services. So, let's see, script loaded. That's the last one that I'm gonna go over is it basically loads phone numbers into pre-generated web pages, and it's pretty decent for as far as the actual call volume you can get for very little work. So the first one I'm gonna go over is the caller ID reflection attack, and everybody knows that they're spoofed caller ID. There's always been the apps on phones that call to servers, things like that. I'm sure everyone's gotten a blocked number, or you've had a friend that was messing with you one day. And basically, this one with a one PRI circuit, you can make 23 calls a second to people, and just you could cycle through lists depending on what the actual software you have running on your computer would be, and it would tie into a soft phone type situation, and you could actually call quite literally hundreds of people, and they'll call whoever the spoofed caller ID information is back. And they'll believe that that was the actual person who called them. A lot of people won't. I usually don't call back a number if I don't know it, if they don't leave a voicemail, so. Using the salesman to TDoS for you. So what this does is it's an actual script that'll crawl several thousand, I think it was like 46 or 4,800 actual realtor web pages. Made sure they didn't have CAPTCHAs. Some of them actually used PHP backends that had a lot of the exact same stuff built into them. So it was very easy to bypass, very easy to generate. You put the information into your text fields, and as you can see right here, it'll actually put a name, phone number, things like that. So that's one of the instances of getting TDoSing. So, yep, and here's a list of the header, a little bit larger so people can see it. And yeah, like I was saying, it's about 76 of the web pages that are out there have, they use pretty much the same template or a pretty close version of the actual, so. And just wrote a bot to crawl the web pages, searching for keywords, anything with MLS numbers. That's why I chose realtors. I knew it's specific to them, so. Yeah, botnets have infected smartphones. I heard there's already a couple out there. This is just kind of natural. You know, they started out with botnets of computers, and then the next step was naturally to smart devices, so. Yep, and there is an increase on the rooted phones, as you guys all know, but that's one of the risks that we gladly take, so. And I'm gonna go into now how I actually weaponized the OEM cell phone platform. It was prepaid cell phone that I'm gonna be talking about is actually a Samsung U365, the little Gusto phones. I'm sure everyone at some point in their life has actually owned one of them. They're a very common phone, so. And they're running the Brew 3.1 operating system, digital service. It's a really, really nice phone. I think they cost about $8 to Verizon, and you can buy them for about $12, so. Then it has the, here's the actual chipset that is in it. That's one of the reasons I was actually able to do the exploit. Most of the smartphones that are out there have application processors. These have one single 197 megahertz processor. And this is, the actual attack would work on any value chipset. So any of the QSC 6050 and 6055, so. And here's a little bit of personal research I've done here, so yeah. Yeah, so they have other nefarious uses aside from DDoS, so. Okay, and there were three security features that were actually built into the device. And let's see here, the developer editions of these models, they do support bootloading, unlocked feature sets, things like that. So what I basically did was wrote custom firmware for the device. And I will talk about the actual way that I was able to bypass and get a sort of a pseudo signature, at least one that the device would boot with, so. And loading the actual recompiled operating system, because every single different phone vendor has their own operating system. So I wrote my own, it was a modified version of Brew, but, and I will go into detail in that here in a little bit, so. Yeah, once again, there's no application processors. Is anybody in the room looking at getting into cell phone hacking and don't? Yeah, this is perfect phone for doing it. I know you can buy these things in bulk now for about $8 a piece, so. And the burner phones actually have ESN numbers that you can not activate with regular service, but if you guys wanted to try them out, you can get unlocked ESN ones where they're They've actually been on a Verizon account, or if they've been a burner phone for about, I think it's like 6 months or a year, you can pull them over to your normal line of service. So, yeah, like I said, there's no application processor. It was written in C++. We got any C++ guys? Or C++ guys in the house? Anybody program that? Okay. Awesome. Yeah, that definitely, you would feel right at home. So, and it's very, like I said, it was very, very easy. Like, I have no experience. I've rooted a couple phones, things like that, but it was always somebody else's tool, and it was something I was interested in. So it's something where you guys would be able to pick up one of these phones and just start dabbling with it. It's amazing. Like, I thought it would be a lot harder. I thought I would have to have a team of brilliant Germans working with me, or, you know what I mean, like something to get that little gap over or something like that. So, like, that's what it took. I think it took like 15, 16, 20 people in a whole community to break some of the other phones out there. So that's what I'm saying. This is an amazing phone if you guys want to get into cell phone hacking. So, yep, and there's actual features that are built into it. When I saw it was iRinger, I thought it was an iPhone type deal, but it's definitely not. It's an actual, the way that it boots the actual ringtones in the computer, or in the actual phone, sorry about that. And yeah, I'm able to actually interact with the clam speaker. So that's the way that they had it built. They had built a lot of extra stuff or a lot of expansion and ways you can push some of the, like for example, if you want to save your battery time, you push to a screen that doesn't exist and the screen will never light up when it's making calls because otherwise it does tear through its battery pretty quick. Just idling though, this phone is amazingly efficient. I've literally let one sit at my, or at these DEFCON talks and the speeches I was at before, and it's been going for 7 days and the battery still has 3 bars, so it's a very, very efficient phone, and it's, I'll show you some ways to add stability to it where you can get it to go through its entire 5-day cycle, because these do, you buy these phones for $12 to $14 depending on the vendor, and they come with a $10 prepaid service, and it was $2 a day for unlimited calling, so that plan in itself is pretty amazing, so. Yep, and let's see. Clam type phones, everybody's familiar with those. They do have some features where they can tell if the clam is open. And basically when you load an OEM developer edition type operating system on it, which is the custom one that I compiled would be actually, yeah, you're able to literally bypass everything. Imagine anything that's on that phone and you can for the most part interact with it. So, yeah, some of them, when the phone is actually closed, I did run into some problems, but once again, like once I saw that they had the extra screens that you could push events to and things like that, it became a lot simpler and it, you know, I would go to sleep and then I would like be thinking, you know, about like ringtone, like, cause that's how the actual payloads are developed, or you can develop your own payloads, which are basically malformed ringtone packets. So it's not something where a person would have to rewrite, you know, their own everything, this and that. It has a lot that you can interact with, and you have it's basically malformed ringtone generator, and you can actually load them in that way also, so. And here's a modified executable, was the way that I actually loaded the actual firmware into the phone. And yeah, the certificate expired in, I think it was 2012, so it was from a certificate from 2006 to 2012. This phone has been out for quite a few years, so. Yes. So basically, expiration process is the way that I was able to load what looked like would have been vendor sign specific. All I had to do, it was a simple workaround. I can't go into too much detail, I guess. I haven't heard back from Qualcomm on it. So this error is exploited by running the modified executable. As you can see, it'll open up a couple of the other interfaces. And quite literally, all I need from the way I recompiled the actual loader of the firmware was any valid certificate. So quite literally just plug any other mouse or anything else into it. It was made to be easy for, you know, quite literally anybody could just, it literally takes about 8 minutes. The first time that I've been loading them, the last few I did, they were right around that 8 minute range, so. Yep, it allows for, once again, like I said, the entire full attack surface of the computer, so, or of the actual phone, so. And it's amazing, you can actually do a lot with a lot of the Bluetooth functionality that I am totally excited to have some time again when I get home, so, because I thought of a couple things and people have talked to me about some things that would be really, really nice to actually have as a payload on this phone, so. Yep, as you can see, the driver device information are now supported by an expired certificate. And that's the main reason that I was able to bypass. And that's what I'm saying, the community in, on the whole needs to, you know, keep these type of things up or not use. It was a value chipset, so I understand that they were actually having, from what I could see, hard time getting people to develop applications for it. And that was one of the reasons that I was able to get, quite literally, any information was out there. I did sign up for a couple of group or a couple of things here and there, but as far as that goes, I was able to find most of the stuff online. So, and as you can see, yeah, it expired in 2012, and yeah, and I did, like I said, the workaround was modified. It was modified, executable, and it was on the Samsung side, so it was very, very outdated, and it is no bad on their part. I wouldn't. This phone is a very, very, you know, they don't make a lot of money off of them, so I would understand, you know, from their aspect. So, but yeah, it was a simple host files workaround with custom compiled executable. So, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you can quite literally modify everything down to machine level, like with some of the drivers and just the way that it was blocked. It was extremely simple. I couldn't believe how simple it was, actually. I'm not much for cell phone hacking. Like I said, I've never been part of any communities. I've developed a couple apps here or there, but it was very, very minute back in the day. So, and here's one of the favorite parts of this phone. It's one of its feature sets is preferred roaming list hopping. And basically what it'll do is it'll pull down 12 towers. And I did blur them out so you guys can't triangulate my house. So, but yeah, you can definitely pull the PRL list. You can lock it. And then you can do a random standoff on three of the towers where it'll actually be, for the most part, it would be impossible to triangulate depending how randomly you did them, so. And that's one of the, also the vulnerabilities where it was able to actually, with the way that I interacted with the towers, I was able to make 70 calls a minute. And there is no reason at all that there should be any legitimate reasons to make 70 calls a minute, so. Yeah, there's a bit of old, that's another thing. The GPS functionality was very easy to turn off, and I found out that it doesn't actually turn on fully until you make a 911 emergency call. It looked like it did some kind of interaction with towers on a regular basis, but the GPS information I was getting was very far off, so. And you can develop applications for the attack platform by emulating the software that is written on the phone, so you can actually try it out. I've bricked several of these devices, and one of the actual ways that I wrote one of my ringtone packets was, one of them was, I was like, that'd be cool to be able to brick the phone just by putting a ringtone in there, and I'll go over that one in a bit, so. Yeah, but like I'm saying, you can try them out on their development platform. There's U365 image you can load, and yeah, it's pretty amazing to be able to play with them before you get them loaded on the actual system, so. Okay, so now you have an unlocked platform. What now? And yeah, that's what I'm saying. The attack platform is full control of all the devices on the phones. And this is some of the payloads that I actually did. Was the call bomb was obviously one of them. Some of those are default ringtones that are left in there, but that one basically, I set my number or a number of another phone that I want to actually have do the, like when I get a text message from that number, it'll actually call whatever number is in the text message 70 times a minute until the battery dies in the phone. So that quite literally is, yeah, it's an extreme amount of calls in a short amount of time, and it's practically untraceable. And the other one was at the end of the 5-day cycle, I set an alarm so it'll actually brick the phone. And if somebody was a little bit better and had a little bit more time at programming and stuff like that, they'd be actually able to probably burn out the flash NAND type scenarios on the phone, so. There'd be ways to make it unrecoverable. So, like I said, you do have full access to the actual phone and all the devices and interfaces on the phone, so. Okay, does everyone know, in the house know what a cheese box is? Yeah, the cool old schoolers, yeah. Yeah, cheese boxes basically is what bookies used to use, where people would call in and it would anonymize their phone number on the way back. So, basically, I wrote an actual ringtone packet, which is how we deliver the payloads on this platform. And these two phones Bluetooth to one another, and then they basically are able to pass the phone call through. So I call into one number, or have friends call into one number, and then after a random amount of time, you can put 15, 5-second timers, you can be on different towers. So you can have two phones, but they'll be on separate towers, so they won't look like they're in the same area. So it would make it entirely anonymous. I know there's some services out there that do phone forwarding and proxying and things like that, but this would be something where you could set it up in 15, 20 minutes at your house or, you know, things like that. And I can think of many reasons. This is one of the ones that I think it'd be nice to be able to have, you know, like numbers for calling in for events or things like that. And like it, maybe even back in the day, like they used it for, I'm sure people would have other reasons for doing it. So, but there's always a reason to hide phone numbers, things like that. So, yep, so this goes to show here, you can connect up to 3 devices, so you can have random call out numbers even. And yeah, basically I was trying to do a command and control kind of thing with an actual smartphone. I didn't have time to complete it. And let's see, call time has passed off, okay, yep. And that's basically, like I said, an untraceable proxy, so. Yep, this is another one that I think a lot of people would have interest with is, a lot of people are familiar with war dialing, and back in the day where they'd be able to find modem numbers, things like that. So this one's for basically finding voicemail boxes. And it's basically you can turn the U365 platform into an actual crawling platform where you can go through, like say, entire phone prefixes, or you can do actual voicemail boxes in a business. And it'll, if you Bluetooth it to a PC, it'll actually it'll call twice so that it gets a voicemail. And then on the third one, it'll actually record the voicemail with an actual program that I wrote for my computer. So, and on the next page, you'll see you can dump, I think it was up to 900 ringtones right there. So, or 900 of the actual numbers that you called. So, and you can put ranges in. The portion of the script on the bottom is that for that one, and if stuff is spelled wrong, I apologize for that. It was just common stuff. I know the original version did look like a Nigerian email. So if you guys look on your disks, if you guys want updated slide presentations also, I would definitely just feel free to email me. So, and the program that I had did 2 things. It would record MP3s, like I was saying, to basically crawl mailboxes anonymously. And the second one is for actually programming the phone. I attached like 5 of these to my computer at once and just hit the go button, and it gave me California prefix phone numbers. And that's something where once in a while, this kind of thing would be easily mitigated by people actually, you know, changing the options once in a while, not so people can just spam through them. So, yep, and yeah, here's the prepaid cell phone, and it's in its glory. I just love it when it has a cellular USB attached to it, because there's actual low energy mode where I can stably have this thing calling, I think it was a little over 30 calls a minute, stably with a USB charger, and you just toss it into a lamp fixture at anywhere that's like a public facility, so. And yeah, it stayed stably charged. I tried it out with the, 60 or something like that. It went about a day and a half still, which was, I was very impressed, so. And that USB cellular charger was $6. I didn't know they'd gotten that cheaper. I would have bought one a lot earlier, so. And like I'm saying, these phones, with the way that I actually write my ringtone packets, there's a couple options, like when you compile them, where you can do really energy efficient, so. And you can do some with time, basically where you can pseudo turn the phone off for a timed period. That was one of the other actual ringtone packets that I generated, so. And like I said, these are anonymous purchase. I bought, they wouldn't let me buy more than 2 of them a day for some reason, but I don't know if they called and that was a North Dakota only thing, so. But yeah, they wouldn't let me buy more than 2 of them a day, and yeah, they're basically untraceable. And I just love the idea of the PRL hopping. It was something that when I perfected it finally, like with pulling it down and then actually jumping through random towers, it was, I don't know, it's a very good, it'd be nice for even something like this, because you can do tower locking. So like I showed up I've been in Las Vegas since the 1st, and I was able to lock the PRL list of the phone. Like that's very useful. If, you know, there's tons of femtocells and fake cell towers in the actual hotels. You know, this is only one of the only conferences I would expect that I needed to deal about that kind of stuff, so. But yeah, the total investment for a 5-day DDoS, it is now a grandfathered plan, the $2 a day for unlimited calling. I don't know why Verizon changed that about a month ago, but yeah. But yeah, you can get grandfathered ESN numbers. So I do believe any one of the Samsung U365s still gives you the prompts for the $2 a day plans. And these things are ridiculously cheap. Because they've gone to the Gusto 3 now, which has a newer version of Brew. It's 1.151, which is pretty close to the same. It just has a updated certificate. So there would have to be other methods found. And like I'm saying, this is an amazing handset to be able to play with if you guys are looking at getting into cell phone hacking. Yep, and the phone being turned into a call bomber. And like I said, it's, yeah, the firmware push, like the, it's just, you need a little bit special USB cable. You don't need to crack it open and do a bunch of other stuff to it. So it's quite literally where anybody could practically do it. So that's when it becomes scary. You know, it's one thing, like how many people in here, if they wanted to, could hijack PRI lines and SIP trunks? Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying. But how many people in here could go and spend $12 at their favorite box store? Exact. It'd be a larger majority, I would imagine. And that's when stuff gets scary. And that's just why I want to bring this to people's attention. Because, yeah, this I know there's, like I said, those advanced methods out there. And then they're not that advanced once you understand or if you've ever had the back end experience with those systems. But yeah, it's just something I would not like to have, you know, with some of the DDoS methods. Like it's something where it brings it a little more real world, a little more personal. It's one thing when your web page goes down, but it's another thing when your call manager keeps getting locked up kind of situation. And I know it's just on a different level. And it's something where I've actually worked on some mitigation methods where there's a plugin for Call Manager and Call Manager Express, where it actually will have a CAPTCHA on the actual device and system where, you know, the third time that a caller ID information is plugged in, that it'll actually send a challenge. So it's something that people will be able to load into the actual Call Manager software. Then another one is an Android app where, you know, the third time challenge is like that. So, because it's something that I know eventually will be used in the wild more. And yeah, it scares me. It keeps me up at night kind of stuff. So it's definitely something that a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of people aren't focusing on it as much as they should be. I've been seeing how much it's been used in some of the bank fraud and stuff of recent, so. And yes, this is, I was gonna do a full-blown demonstration of the TDoS, but there's something really weird about the cell phone towers that I was picking up in the hotel. So that is the reason that I could not do my demonstration to the fullest extent, so. And yeah, it was amazing because as I was actually booting it up, two of my phones didn't kick on to the actual tower. So as you can see at the beginning here, I had about two phones kicked on and it peaked it up and almost locked, what do you call it? When it had been running for probably about 5-15 minutes, something like that. And then I had a little bit of peaks when I went to the 4 phone. But when I went from the 8 phone to 10 phone, it fully locked the actual VM up. And it wasn't a, you know, 1 gigabyte VM running some older operating system. This thing was pretty beefy. It was, I think it was 8 and change for as far as gigabytes of RAM. And that, for a call, for a light calling operating system, that is amazingly great, actually. So, but yeah, if you could have thought, like, this could have been an actual, you know, like, think of the scenarios where you could actually crash a call center. Like, some of the biggest ones that I think about are actually, you know, blocking a 911 emergency system. I could quite literally 15 of these. I could have not, I wouldn't have done the call 911. You actually call the one that the 911 basically gets translated into. And it could literally take down, like, I live in a smaller state. I think there's like 600 some thousand people. It's grown a little bit with the oil boom, but there's, it literally could take down 15 of these phones. Like that is scary. Like that could deny service to, you know, like, if used in conjunction with other, you know, federal agencies would be entirely wrapped up. They'd be looking for hints. You know, if it was used in conjunction with some sort of terrorist attack, it would be unimaginable. And that's what I'm saying. This, you know, as far as skill set goes, like if somebody was to release like this kind of like dev kit tool to the wild, like it would be like somebody could get fired from a pizza delivery place and an hour later be denying service for 5 days for $10. That's just, that is just crazy, so. And yeah, pretty much any organization or person that is disliked, it's just, yeah, stores during holiday seasons, there's lots of, you know, IRS around tax season. Like that would actually do financial damage to the actual infrastructure of the United States. And It's amazing just how, like a cheap, a very good phone. They're very cheap phones, but they're very, very good. I've grown close to it over the last few months, and I'm sad to see it go, because it literally, they just came out with the Gusto 3 not too long ago, or it came into the mainstream. So, yeah, and I'm going to open it up to questions a little bit, and I'm going to do some talking if we don't have any questions. So, I'd like to give a thanks to my wife and family and the big guy for giving me a sweet computer name, and Tim for the final help on the spelling. So, but I'd like to open it up to questions if anybody has any questions. So.
So do you have any mitigation strategies from the call center perspective?
Yep, I have actual plugins for Call Manager, Call Manager Express. They're Cisco specific right now, but that's just because of the world that I came from. So, but it actually, yeah, the third time it calls in, it'll have its own soft phone where it'll actually pick up and actually challenge you with a CAPTCHA. And you can load your own custom CAPTCHAs, but I think there's about 15 CAPTCHAs that I developed to this point. So does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We should talk.
Awesome.
I actually spoke yesterday in Sky Talks on common phone fraud schemes and demonstrated a TDoS attack using a compromised PBX.
Perfect.
And I guess the only TDoS scenario that you didn't cover, which, by the way, your coverage of, you know, how they're generated was excellent. I saw a couple that I hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. But the one scheme that's used is actually extortion. So they'll get somebody's information, usually like loan that they're behind on, or maybe some sort of criminal history, and call them at work and say, "Hey, you know, you got to pay us $50, or we're going to let your employer, you know." And they will just, you know, say, "Well, the other thing we could do is just, you know, take down your place of work."
Yep. Exactly. So yeah, I'll be out in this chain smoking area out there. So okay. After this talk, so. Does anybody else have any other questions? Quite literally any questions here. So.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Have you looked into any of the newer smartphones, burner phones?
I wouldn't feel, like, the reason I went for this platform is because it's $8. Like,
okay.
I have no problem at all leaving 100 of these, but like 10 of them in a library charging, or you know what I mean? Like, I would have, that's the scariness of the platform. Because even if it was like my older, you know, Android phone, like I finally, you know, got my 2-year, free phone again or whatever, but I would feel even bad leaving one of those, and those devices have so much places that our information are kept. That's why I actually did it on this smaller platform, is because it's literally a burner phone. Like, this thing will be, it is very, very disposable, and that's what I love about it. So, and it was very energy efficient. 15 days these things can idle in the perfect situation. So that's with the actual, if it wasn't doing the phone DOS, actually. Yeah. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I was actually looking
multiple
into
sorry.
No, because I was actually thinking about looking into the newer ones, the smartphones, and see what we can do with it. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be very, very awesome, actually. You know, rooted phones, there are actually pretty hardcore kits out there for, because pretty much it underlying on some of the operating systems is just basically a Linux distribution. But, yeah that'd be amazing to see what that could actually grow into. So.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Have you tried connecting the towers on and off as fast as possible?
Oh, yes, I have, actually. That's one of the ways when I do a poll of the PRL lists, with preferred roaming lists, it'll actually, I have it locked to 12 towers, because otherwise, it was actually locking the phone up when I would do the full 15 for some reason. So, yeah, I've tried connecting and disconnecting to towers and calling off of other towers and hopping mid-tower, so. Yep. Does that answer your question?
I was just wondering if you melted a cell phone tower doing that.
If I melted? What do you mean?
Well, like toggle idle active or negotiate with the tower and then disconnect. Boom.
It takes a little bit long, especially on these devices, to actually do something to the tower that would be harmful. But that'd be awesome. Yeah, like as I'm saying, if you guys can get one of these phones and just, you know,
more
see what
phones.
The hell you can do. So.
Use more phones.
Mine's actually kind of a follow-up in that. Why is there nothing in the background? Like, why is Verizon not, hey, 70 calls in 2 minutes, what the hell?
Yeah,
why?
No, that, I would love to talk to Verizon about that, because because it was hopping towers, and I don't think the talk, I know for the most part that the towers aren't talking to each other, so, or they're not talking the way they should. is what I'm getting at.
So. Isn't there something like, can Verizon eventually audit, like, why are we seeing 10,000% more calls on these four towers this month?
Yeah, no, that's the exact reason that I did this. It was to, you know, get it out there that that kind of stuff shouldn't be possible. You should not be able to make, especially even if they want to designate burner phones, or you know what I mean, just phones in general, there's no legitimate reason for it. So, and that's what I'm saying, that is kind of the point I wanted to bring it out, and like, because there are things, there's very easy ways they could do it. They could limit the amount of calls even to burner phones. You know, there's lots of stuff that they could actually do, so.
But as far as you're aware, they do none of that.
Yeah, I've...
I am so surprised. Yep.
You know, they're doing a good job at other things, but it just seems like, I don't know, it's something that they're... I would like to see what they would be able to do with it, so, and yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? There are quite literally no dumb questions, so. Got a gentleman in the back here.
Have you tried this with text messaging?
Yes, I actually did fully unlock the SMS functionality. I didn't do any text bombing, because I think there's SMS services that would be easier to do it with, but this would be entirely anonymous, because it's a very cheap SMS gateway if you guys want to connect it to a computer and have text messages for any reason. That's what I'm saying, this thing is not only an attack platform, but quite literally anything you want on a phone. Like, you can do, with a couple of these, you can do load balancing, and it's pretty interesting. Some of the other, I'd love to see what the community could do with it, so, definitely. So, does that answer your question?
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And what is your question, sir?
Have you looked at whether or not this can DOS the tower?
Yeah, that's kind of what my next step was, but I don't know a good legal way I could do it without buying a base station, so. And yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. And the company I do work for, which is an engineering firm up in North Dakota, we do a lot of actual stuff. So, and I would like to disclaim on that also that this was done all on my free time. It took me about 80 hours. My work had nothing to do with it. So aside from, yeah, having a job, that was it. So yep. What's your question, ma'am?
So it seems more, I don't know, useful, I guess, to attack a call center. But I'm just curious, like, did you weaponize this against your home phone line or your cell? Just to, like, what does it look like on the receiving end? Would I get 70 empty voicemails from you? Or, like, what would happen on the receiving end?
Well, about the seventh or eighth call, your phone would de-authenticate from the tower it was on. And then it would literally, you would pretty much get calls for the next, quite literally, until the battery died in the other phone. On POTS service, it's literally just plain old telephone service, sorry, it just rings. It quite literally just rings. And then on anything that has a computer behind it, which a lot of it is getting for the actual cellular stuff, I didn't go to the point where I'd lock anything up, because I was literally trying to keep this legal, because I do have a job to keep and stuff. But yeah, that's a very, very good idea. But yeah, no, like I was saying, the cell phone was the one that threw me off. And sometimes when I was hopping towers, it would quit sending caller ID info. And like, it was, I'd love to dive a little bit more into it, and that's why it'd be awesome if a community got behind it, because these things are very easy to break into. So did you have a question? Did that answer your question, actually? Thank you.
Question for you. How was anonymity achieved? Were you purchasing off eBay, walking into a store?
Yep. Oh, the anonymity on my part?
Yeah.
I literally bought most of them. The ones that I was tinkering with, I didn't like pay a homeless man to buy it or anything like that. I'm not that paranoid, so I did pay cash for them, but I didn't, I just wanted to pick them up. I don't know why they do the two. I'm guessing that's for one of my other research materials I came up with.
Are you on video walking into Walmart purchasing phones with these serial numbers that are then?
Yep. Yeah, they have a couple of the information outside, and yeah. So they could tell what Walmart it was bought at, but that's what I'm saying, like that, I'm sure there's be a web page eventually you could buy 50 of the, you know what I mean, kind of situation. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. What's your question?
You mentioned a little bit about the inaccuracy of GPS.
Yes.
How inaccurate was it?
I think it was 60, 70 feet from the actual, unless if my phone was off too, but it looked like it was quite literally pretty, I mean, you would have been able to tell what building somebody, called 911 from, or, you know, where their truck went into the river or whatever kind of situation happened. So, but yeah, no, then you were able to lock, like you can change the functionality of the, I think it was the star 228 function, and like there's other star functionings, and you can like adapt them because they have like a little bit more interaction with the system than the actual devices did. So that's what I'm saying, like you can actually plug in, you know, your actual, you can lock your location basically. So it says the exact same GPS. Like you could, yeah, as long as it's within the PRL. I did find some, like when I did Montana, tried to spoof Montana or, you know, something like that where it went pretty far away. There were some towers I couldn't authenticate to, so. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Thank you.
Could you DOS a network with a femtocell doing this?
You're talking about with a femtocell DOS a network?
Yeah.
I don't think, I guess in what way would it be generating the traffic?
Yeah.
On the femtocell? Yeah, actually you could whitelist it out with the ones. Yeah, you could have 50 phones and nobody else would be able to talk to the femtocell. And, or actually you could probably do it with 25 phones actually. So, yeah, because I think it handles femtocells a little bit different, and that's why I couldn't do the demonstration of it crashing. Because I had a 200, I think it was PRI line, so it'd be 23 times 5. It had over 200 phone numbers, so yeah. It's definitely does. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? Sweet. Awesome. I hope I'm doing good on time. Yeah, I'd like to thank you guys for coming to see me speak, and I'll let this gentleman kick me off the stage, so.